Good morning. I wanted to sing I Saw the Light. But anyway, I guess we got to get some lights fixed on Monday. Anyway, it's good to be here, amen. Good to worship together today. Some new faces here today. I praise you take the time to make them feel welcome. And some that we haven't seen for a while, it's good to have you guys back with us worshiping today. This morning, I want to talk about one of the biggest problems in our world today. No, it's not the deficit, even though it can be smaller, amen. And no, it's not our government. We're not going to get into that, not going to get into politics today. I heard an amen there. No, it's not the coronavirus, even though it's affected every single one of us in one way or another. No, I believe one of the biggest, if not the biggest of all, problems facing our world today is worry. Now, if you're sitting with us, worshiping with us this morning, you already know by looking at the bulletin that I'm preaching on worry because the title is When You Worry. So you Facebookers, you have no idea what we're talking about, but you do now. We're going to talk about when you worry. So let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you are worrywarts? Hold her hand up a little bit higher there. Amy, hold your hand up a little higher. Okay, you guys worry about a lot of stuff? You know, if I'm not careful, I find myself in that category. If you were to know my dad, Billy Root, you would say this about him because hundreds of people have said this. That man doesn't worry about anything. Now, they've never said that about me. I didn't get that gene from my dad because I have a tendency, if I'm not careful, to worry. I worry about money sometimes. I worry about my health sometimes. I worry if the lights are going to work at the church, you know. When we was on the farm, we had red equipment. I'm not going to go there, Tim. But you know what? It's easy to worry. It's easy to worry. When you look around our world today, and you see all the problems that's taking place in our world today, in our families, in our schools, in our government, it's easy to worry. But I also want you to know this, and you can write this down somewhere on your paper. There is a difference between deep concern and worry. There is a deep concern when you know somebody that is outside of Christ. There is a deep concern when you're when you have some health problems and you know you need to get on the treadmill, you need to stop eating all those chips and those hamburgers and stuff like that, the drive-thru at McDonald's like I did and Austin did Friday night, right? There's a real temptation. But what is the difference between deep concern and worry? Worry is when you don't get sleep at night. Worry is when you toss and turn. Worry is when your appetite goes out the window because you worry all the time. Worry is when you stew. It is when you're obsessed. It is when you gnaw at your nails. How many of you bite your nails? Shame on you. That's a dirty habit. It's like eating your toenails. Anyway. But we toss and turn in bed, we sip on Maalox, and we sneak Valium when we worry. Anxiety, someone said, is like a hyperactive dog in a fenced-in backyard, frantically racing around the perimeter of our minds until it beats a dirt path on which nothing can grow. I had to think about that. That's true. Someone has said that worry seems at times to never run out of gas, to never grow tired, and when things get difficult in life, worry seems to never go away. Worry can not only be hard to get rid of, it can destroy your life. Comedian Carl Hurley asked his audience one night, "Have you ever tried to throw away an old garbage can?" He says, "It's impossible." He explains this. I said an old rusty holes everywhere in the garbage can. I set it out by the street so they would take it away with the other garbage. It was empty. But here's what they did. That evening, they took the garbage can along with the other garbage cans and they set it right back up near the house with all the others. Well, the next week, the very same thing. Except this week, I turned the garbage can upside down so they could see all the holes and the fact that the garbage can was about to go, you know, fall through. They turned it back over, put it up next to my house along with the other garbage cans, and went away. Well, I thought I would do something else. And he says, I took a sledgehammer and I beat that garbage can and I beat that garbage can and I put it out by the road by the rest of the trash. And when I came home that evening, they had taken a hammer and straightened the garbage can out and put it up next to the house again. And he said, finally, I got wise. I went down to the local hardware store. I bought a huge log chain and a padlock, and I put a padlock and a chain on that garbage can, and I padlocked it to the tree, and sure enough, when I came home that evening, it was gone. Somebody had stole it. Friends, that is a funny story, but I'll tell you something. Worry is the same way. We try to get rid of it. We'll do this and we'll do that, and pretty soon, worry creeps right back into our lives, and we wonder, why? Why? Well, God's Word has a lot to say about worry. So if you have your Bibles or smartphones, turn over to Luke chapter 12. I want to focus on verses 22 through 30. And while you're turning there, let me tell you about this company. To my knowledge, it's true. I didn't check it out, but you can. It is a company that will take care of your worries for you. And here it is. You can look it up if you guys want. I haven't looked it up. It's called theworrycompany.com. They claim to be the world's leading provider in worry services. He says, forget your worries. Your worry days are over. Let us worry for you, for your friends and for your family. Our company is dedicated to lifting the worries of life off of your shoulders. By becoming a member of our worry company, you will officially transfer all of your worries to the highest trained professionals that we have who will worry for you. Your worries will become null and void, and they will be entered into our computer database of worries for a period of 1 year, and we will worry for you. P.S. We only use certified worriers in our company. And I wanted to say, yeah, for a price. Don't you wish it were that easy? Don't you wish you could pick up the phone or send a text message or an email to some company and say, hey, no matter what it costs, take my worries, take them away from me so I don't worry anymore. I want you to know, friends, it's not that easy. Worry is not that easy to get rid of. Have you found that to be true? It's easy to become anxious. It's easy to become worrisome. It's easy to lose sleep. It's easy to fall to your health, your wealth, or whatever else because of worry. Well, in Luke 22, verses 22 through 30, look with me if you will. Jesus says these words, and some of you probably have it memorized. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than these birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and is thrown to the fire tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, and do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Now, I don't know about you, but I have noticed, especially in teenagers, that they worry about what they wear. As a matter of fact, I was having this little discussion with my daughter, and I said, Gracie, am I out of date? I don't have holes in my jeans like you do. I don't wear the same kind of shirts that you wear. Am I out of date? And she said, no, you're not out of date. So I asked my wife, honey, am I out of date? I don't have holes in my jeans. I don't have holes in my shirt or whatever else they're doing these days. Am I out of date? And she said, no, it's just a fad. This too will pass. Are you out of date? Do you worry about it? Kids do. And you know, the less clothes you got on it with all the holes on, you'd think the less time it takes to get ready. Amen? And I've found it takes even longer. I guess you got to get the holes straightened out. You got to do all this stuff before you get in the car and go to school. I don't know. You feel like you're behind the times? I will tell you this, I don't worry about it, at least in that area. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to wear. He says, I'll take care of it. If I can take care of the birds of the air, I can surely take care of you too. And he can. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your life, because he's got it taken care of. And here's the problem. We rely less on ourselves, or more on ourselves and less on him. That's the problem. But I want you to know, God will take care of it. Jesus doesn't mention just clothes here. He mentions your life. He says, I'll take care of your life. Can I just say here, life is tough sometimes. Do you agree? Have you found it to be true? And I used to envy those people that just kind of slid through life, and it didn't seem like there was any worry to their life at all. And then I dug into their life and I found out they have just as much, if not more, worries than what I have. The heartaches, the pains, the disappointments of life that come our way, it's easy and very tempting to worry. But if you think your life is rough and you think you got a lot to worry about, I want you to consider God's servant Job. You remember him in the Old Testament? He probably dates back to the time of Abraham. And God not only had faith in Job, he actually sicked Satan on Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? I hope he never does that to me. I hope he never does it to you. Because it's a test of one's faith. And he says, Satan, you can take his animals. You can take his servants. And you can even take his sons and his daughters. And you could inflict harm on him, but you can't take his life. And Satan took everything from him except a nagging wife. And I never can figure that out. I think Solomon had to write something about that later on when he says it's better to live on the corner of your roof than to live with a nagging wife. Maybe he had Job's wife in store here. But you know what? The Bible says that Job never cursed God. Through this whole test, and it was a test, he never cursed God one time. And even when his wife said, curse God, he wouldn't do it, he wouldn't listen. And you know what? Satan inflicted a lot of pain on him. Emotional pain, physical pain, financial pain, relational pain. He did it all. And Job passed with flying colors. Friends, can I ask you this morning, if God were to inflict that kind of pain, or allow Satan to inflict that kind of pain on you, relational, physical, financial, could you survive? Could you make it through on the other side? Would you be all right? Could you honestly say that you never cursed God through it all? Could you say that? Be careful. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And don't you wish he went on to say, and so will you? Because that's what he meant. So will you. So can I tell you today, stop worrying. Stop worrying about your life. Stop worrying about your kids and your grandkids and your financial problems and your health problems, and put it all in God's lap. Let him take care of it. Well, this morning, I want to give you some essentials to taking care of worry if you want to write them down. First of all, number one, we must acknowledge that worrying is a sin. I have had so many responses to this statement before I even got up here to preach. Worry is sin? Is it a sin? Yeah, it's a sin. And I'm going to tell you why it's a sin, because Jesus says, don't do that. And when we do that, guess what? It becomes a sin. In Matthew 6, there's a typo. That's my fault, Sherry, not yours. It's Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Jesus parallels Matthew's account with the same as Luke's account. And in same accounts, he mentions four times, four different verses, do not worry. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. And he commands us not to worry. So why do we do it? Why don't you come up here and share that with me? Why do we do it? Why do we worry so much? I think one of the reasons we worry so much is because we are so independent. We think we can take care of matters on our own, and we try to do it, and we ignore God, and then when we get to the end of our day, we wonder, what happened? And God's up here scratching his head. What do you think happened? I believe that's some of it. Last night, my kids wanted to ride the four-wheeler after dark. Most of the time, I don't worry about it, or I'm not deeply concerned about it. But last night, for some reason, I had this deep concern, maybe even a little worry. I hope everything's okay. I know how the people drive in our neighborhood. They're out there on a four-wheeler or in a golf cart. You know what I'm talking about? You worry about your kids, your grandkids? When they turn 16, I got one right now, getting ready to get his driver's license in 2 months. Friends, I want you to know it's hard not to worry. When you have grandkids, when they leave your home, you wonder, are they going to be okay? When they're having a relationship trouble at school, when things aren't going that well, there's a real temptation to worry. So last night, there was a tendency for me to worry just a bit. Well, sometimes I worry about my health. Anyone else? As I get older and as I look in the mirror, I realize it's a work in progress. No amens there. But you know, I get up in the morning. I used to jump out of bed. Now I kind of roll out of bed. And things aren't as quick as they used to be. And I can't do the things I used to do. And I worry about my health. Yeah, I could shed 20 pounds and feel a lot better. And I could stop eating sweets, coconut cream pie that people bring me to my office. And I could learn to rely more on God and more my health. And what about my spiritual life? Yeah, I can worry about my spiritual life if I'm not careful. When I don't pray like I'm supposed to, when I don't read God's word like I'm supposed to, when I don't evangelize like I'm supposed to, when I don't get deep into God's word and study individually and with the corporate like I'm supposed to, I can worry about that. I can have a spiritual crisis if I'm not careful. What about this coronavirus? Well, if you haven't noticed, I've kind of been ignoring it for a while. But you know, I want you to know it's something to worry about. At least be deeply concerned. I wasn't so worried when I came down with the coronavirus. What I was worried about is who's going to get it because I got it. And I had to be very careful around my kids. Good thing that Marge had a basement and an upstairs so the kids could stay upstairs and we could stay in the basement. I could stay away from the kids and keep them away from the coronavirus, and it worked. Don't think there wasn't a part of me that worried about it, though. Was it safe to come back to church? Should I come back to church now? Should I wait another week, maybe 2 weeks? I didn't know. There's still a lot of stuff we don't know about this thing. Even with the shots that you guys have taken, is it going to completely take care of it? I don't know. There's a deep concern. One of the things I was most concerned about was getting in the habit of not coming. That was the thing I was most worried about. Hebrews 10:25 says that we shouldn't forsake the togethering of the saints. Why does he say that? He says that because we were meant to worship together. Amen? We were meant to be together. We were not meant to do this single thing by ourselves. And that's why people get so depressed when they're home by themselves. They are depressed, 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 because they were not created by God to be home by themselves. They were created by God to worship together in God's house around God's table. So, is it a sin to worry? Yes. So the next time you worry, I want you to keep these sermon notes handy, and I want you to pull them out and say, well, Carson said it's a sin to worry, so I'm not going to worry anymore. I didn't say it. God did. Stop worrying. It's okay to be deeply concerned, but you can still go to bed at night and you can lay down your head and you can have a peaceful night's sleep because you turned matters over to God and you didn't stoke about them, you didn't worry about them, you let Him have them. I've had problems in my life. Ching has too. And we just said this, Lord, I can't do this. It's all Yours. And we laid Him down at the foot of the cross. And you know what? When we prayed that prayer, God took care of them. You'll find things in your life that you can't take care of. You'll find things in your life that are way too big for you to try to take care of them. Psychologists say, write this down if you can, 40% of the time we worry about things that never happen. 40%. I'll go slow. 40% of the time we worry about things that never happen. 30% of the time we worry about things in the past. 12% of the time, we worry about other people's opinion of us. What do they think of us? We worry about that, especially teenagers. 10% of the time, we worry about our health. which increasingly grows worse because we're worrying about it. So here it is. That leaves only 8% of the things that might possibly be a temptation to worry about. So I have an assignment for you. Here it is. This week, get up in the morning and worry about those 8% of the things that are on your mind and on your heart that's keeping you from getting sleep and losing weight, and et cetera, et cetera. And worry about them for about 30 minutes and get them over with and don't worry about them anymore. How many of you are going to do that? Don't lie to me. How many of you are really going to do that? But I want you to at least consider the 8% of the things that we really worry about. Start your day out right and be concerned with them. It's not on your sheet, but I want you to write this down. James 4:17. And it says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do but doesn't do it sins. That falls right into worry category. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, because if you do, you sin. We need to stop doing that. The best way you can stop sinning when it comes to worrying today is place the sin of worry in the hands of God and let Him take care of it. A second essential concerning worry is this: we must learn to develop a greater trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my wife's favorite verse in all the Bible, and it's pretty close to mine. It says, trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Wow. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. One of the reasons we worry so much is because we think we can handle it. We think we can do it. Lord, I have been a Christian since 1976, and Lord, I think I can handle this. I don't think I need you this time. Now, you may say that you don't do that, but you really do. You don't mean to, but you do. You take matters into your own hands, you don't leave it up to God, and then you get in trouble. I was reading a newspaper article about an incident involving a man who had bought a car, and he realized after he bought it, he couldn't afford the monthly payments. He worried and he stoked over it, and he worried and he stoked over it, and finally he had an idea. He decided that he would deliberately wreck his car, totaling it out, so the insurance would take care of it. Austin, you can almost relate to this, right? This is what he did. He got up one night, took his car down a lonely road that no one hardly ever travels, and he found a tree, and he rammed his car into the tree. Backed up, got out. Doesn't look good enough. Got another run at 35 miles an hour, ran into the very same tree, and totaled out his car. Then he waits a half an hour. He calls the police. The police come out, and they start evaluating the situation, and they ask the question, what happened here, sir? And he said, I must have fallen asleep at the wheel and crashed into a tree. And then the officer, who had done his homework, told him this. Well, that's kind of funny, because the farmer right over there said there's a man out here on this lonely road who rammed his car into a tree two different times. Could you tell me anything about that? Well, the officer made it clear to this man, if you turn this into the insurance company, I will arrest you for fraud and put you in prison. So here's the conclusion. The guy now has car payments that he can't afford, and he has no car to drive around town. Friends, I want you to know that worry screws our judgment. It causes us to do some stupid things. Raise your hand. Have you ever done anything stupid because you worried about it? We all have. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul mentions something here. I want you to underline it in your Bible or on your smartphones or whatever. He says, the peace of God. It's a simple word, the peace of God, that transcends all understanding. Because that's a huge word, peace. Because I believe that in our world, especially here in America, we have lost the peace. Amen? We have lost the peace. King David wrote in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He had the peace of God, and he could go to the grave no matter what his enemies did to him, because he knew that he was walking with God. Can I ask you this morning, do you have that same kind of trust? Do you have that same kind of peace in your life, even in death, even when the doctor says it's terminal? Do you have that same kind of peace? That, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When things go wrong, and sometimes they will, put your trust in God. Don't put them in people. Don't put them in your spouse. Don't put them in your kids or your grandkids. Definitely don't put them in our government. No amens. Put your faith in God. And the peace that transcends all our standard will guard your hearts and minds. A third and final essential concerning worry is this. Learn to focus on what's ahead and not on what's behind. In Luke 12:31, Jesus said, "But seek His kingdom, and these things, these earthly things, these clothes, these foods, these daily provisions, they will be given to you as well." C.S. Lewis once said, "If you aim at heaven, you get the world thrown in as well. But if you aim only at the world, you get neither one." C.S. Lewis was right. And I know a lot of people that invest in this world, and when they come to the end of their journey, guess what? They have nothing. I know people who focus their time on the energy on the what-ifs of life. You know anybody? What if I just had these clothes? What if I just had that car? What if I just had that house? What if I just had that spouse? Then I would be happier. The what-ifs of life. I want you to know, as you continue to look back, the what-ifs of life can destroy you. Maybe not all at once, but inch by inch, the what-ifs of life of the past can destroy you if you're not careful. Psalm 37:1 says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this." I love that. I love that because He says, trust in the Lord, and God's going to take care of everything that you need taken care of. I'm not going to mention her name, but she was an older lady at a church I used to minister at. And she complained every time I saw her. You ever been around like that? It's like, man, I could be having a good day, and this lady, she would just zap the energy right out of me. I would go over to her house, and I'd tell Ching, I said, "I'm going over so-and-so's house, and I'll be there about 4 hours." And 4 hours, she would tell me about her life, about what could have been. She had this boyfriend that she was actually engaged to, and this was 50 years ago. And she would bring out his picture, and she would show me his picture, and she'd say, "This is so-and-so, the love of my life, the guy I should have married. Shoulda, woulda, coulda." That's what I wanted to say. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. I didn't say it to her. But she'd talk about him for an hour. And I just wanted to say, "Man, he married somebody else. You need to let that go. You need to let it go." She never would. And it wasn't just that. She'd bring up personal problems that happened to her at work. She'd bring up problems she saw in the church. And man, when I left her house, I felt about that big. I'd walk around like this. I'd come in the house and Ching would say, "Oh, you went over to so-and-so's house, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, I went over for about 4 hours. So it'd take me an entire week just to recover from being around her. She focused on the what-ifs of life. Friends, I want you to know, if you focus on the what-ifs of life, you'll never get anywhere in life. It's like going one step forward and two steps back if you continually do that. I always thought, man, if I had to preach her funeral, what would I say? Thank goodness I was gone before that happened. What a bad eulogy of a Christian's life. A life not well lived. A life that focused on what could have been instead of what really was or what could have been. Believe it or not, one of my favorite books is the book of Ecclesiastes. And almost through the entire book, Solomon says this, meaningless, chasing after. He's meaningless throughout the entire book. But he gets to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. It says this, "Now all has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter." The conclusion of life, by the way. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. man, for the wisest man who ever lived, a man that married 700 wives and had 300 concubines, I'm not so sure how wise that is. He sure had a lot of folly. He sure had a lot of negativity. He sure had a lot of worry in his life. But here's the thing. It's not how you start in life. It's how you finish. And you might be sitting here this morning, you might worry all the time. Can I just tell you, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop worrying, and you need to put your faith and your allegiance in God. And trust me when I tell you, He will take care of your problems. Now, when you put your faith and trust in God, that doesn't mean put a little bit of faith and trust in God. That means give Him the whole load. Give it all to Him. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Friends, I want you to know, if the wisest man who ever lived was a worrywart, there is a real temptation for you and I to be worrywarts too. Beginning today, stop sinning by worrying. Learn to trust God more and trust you less. And then stop looking back. Stop looking back at the what-ifs, the way things were and could have been, and start looking at what life can be. As we come to our time of invitation, maybe you're here this morning and you have lost sleep for years and years and years. I want you to know prayer goes a long way. Prayer goes a long way when it comes to worry. And maybe you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. You never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never been buried in the watery graves of Christian baptism. I want you to know maybe that's something to worry about, or at least be deeply concerned about. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Let's pray together. Father God, help us when we worry. We do. We live in a nation that worries more than any other country on planet Earth. We have so much more than any other country, yet we worry more. And I haven't figured that out, but I know there's a real temptation for me to worry sometimes. Lord, when I do that, help me to come to You with my worries, my deep concerns. Lord, help me to look into Your Word. And Lord, help me to drop them at the foot of the cross and to stop worrying and put my faith in Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.